Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So on this episode of the podcast, I'd like to feature a conversation I recently recorded with Mike Stroud. Mike is Executive Director for Facilities and Operations here at the Darden School, and he and I recently sat down to talk a little bit more about our new facility in the Washington, D.C. area, the Sands Family Grounds, as well as the master plan for the Darden School. This is a pretty wide-ranging conversation. We cover a lot of ground. Of course, we talk about all the exciting things that we've been doing in the D.C. area, as well as some of the developments that we have in store here for our facilities in Charlottesville. I think you're going to enjoy it. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Mike Stroud. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me and glad to join.
So in terms of facilities, what an exciting time for Darden right now. You know, obviously for our executive format students, big story in the D.C. area about the Sands Family Grounds and sort of the opening of that space and, you know, dedication of that space coming up. And so much to talk about there, but I'd also like to talk a little bit more about the master plan as well for the school. So let's get into it. So sure. You've been instrumental and very much involved in everything that Darden's been doing from a facility standpoint in the D.C. area. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about that journey from where we started to where we are now.
Yeah, sure. So, I got here in 2015, and I remember one of my first board meetings, Greg Fairchild was leading a presentation to our board about how we needed to penetrate the D.C. metro area market with Executive MBA. And so that happened pretty quickly after Scott Beardsley became the dean. And I know there was a lot of work in advance of that. And the first part of the journey was finding a home for Executive MBA after that launched. And we found a temporary place in Arlington, Virginia, in Roslyn. Mm-hmm. And after about 6 months, found that it wasn't going to be available any longer. And so we had to do some quick work with some real estate agents and brokers in the area to help us find a home. Fortunately, we found at 1100 Wilson Boulevard, adjacent to the Sands Capital Management building, the top two floors, which just happened to be a stroke of luck in a way. And the 31st floor, which is the top floor, was a height and a half, which was really good for our tiered classroom approach. And they actually don't make buildings like that anymore. So it was just really a fortunate event that those floors were available. And we began the process at that point of identifying an architect and starting to do some design planning work with the committee here that we formed at Darden that included some faculty and staff members determined we needed what we built, the 40,000 square feet, and opened it up fully open in June of this year. So really exciting.
Yeah, I always look at the space that we have as a sort of testament to the investment that mm-hmm. Darden has made in the D.C. area and just how serious Darden is about you know, that particular location, but also everything that comes with the location. From an admission standpoint, we always talk about the accessibility of the D.C. area, right? Three airports, mm-hmm. you know, including BWI. So you have Dulles, Reagan National, BWI. You have Union Station mm-hmm. there. It's very much a global city, and all the companies that have a presence there. I mean, just the access alone. But it's wonderful to have our own space. I mean, you know, Waterview was great, tremendous facility. But it's nothing. There's nothing quite like having your own space.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and you know, it was really exciting to go through the planning and design there, Brett. And if it wasn't for the generosity of the Sands family, this type of a project could have never happened. Yeah. And so, thanks to them and their family, allowed us to really do some good work and create a not only a home in Northern Virginia for Darden, but a little bit unique of a home. You've been there, and it is. Mm-hmm. It's not the Jeffersonian architectural feel that we have here in Charlottesville, and doesn't carry all of the same programming elements that we see here in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. And that was done on purpose through design and planning. We wanted it to be unique. We wanted it to be different. We wanted it to be metropolitan, mm-hmm. so to speak. And I think we accomplished that. And it's really exciting to have that space now open and have more and more programming in it.
Yeah, you're right. It's a modern space. You don't have that sort of neoclassical design. I don't think we have any columns other than sort of support columns. But the thing I love about it, I'm somebody who really has always enjoyed the sort of iconic buildings of the mm-hmm. Washington, D.C. area mm-hmm. and sort of the history of the place, is that you can basically take a tour of Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and never leave the 30th floor.
That's right.
You can see everything from the National Cathedral mm-hmm. To Georgetown neighborhood, the mm-hmm. Kennedy Center, and Watergate, National Mall, Iwo Jima, Reagan yeah. National, which is, of course, you know, less than 5 miles away.
Yeah.
You know, just all the way to Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tremendous view. It's an uncommon view. I mean,
oh,
D.C.
yeah.
is known for having a lot of low buildings mm-hmm. for obviously the height restriction
right.
at play in the district. And you come to Roslyn, you get, you know, at least D.C.'s version of skyscrapers.
Yeah, that's right. You know, along those lines, two things come to mind for me is one, to your point, Monday Properties did a which is the owner of the building, so to speak. They did a survey of a lot of folks in the area specific to those buildings. And the feedback was that when you're in those facilities, you feel more – it feels more like you're in D.C. than when you're actually in mm-hmm. D.C. And it's because of the height and what you can see, yeah. the panoramic view. The other thing that comes to mind is as we were under construction, we did a facility tour with our trustees that we had a trustees meeting up at Sands Capitol, and we did a facility tour. And I'm not as familiar with D.C. as you are. Now I'm a little more familiar with it from my travels. But right before we started the tour, Frank Sands Jr. just kind of grabbed the whole group. It's not everybody's familiar. And he did the panoramic, kind of pointed out all of the, yeah. you know, the Watergate location and the memorials mm-hmm. and Georgetown. And you could really kind of capture, wow, there's a lot mm-hmm. of people that can also see us mm-hmm. And then come and play the very important discussion and decision to put a logo on the top of the building in a strategic position so that yeah. If you've ever flown in at a Reagan International, you can see that on the building and you can see from all parts of D.C., which is also very exciting for Darden and the university.
It's been fun to hear from prospective students. You know, I didn't quite know that Darden was in the D.C. area, that I was standing at the Kennedy Center or sort of walking along the waterfront in Georgetown or driving on the Whitehorse Freeway and looked across the way and was like, is that a UVA Darden?
Yeah, yeah.
And, it's helpful in terms of raising awareness. And, you know, we feels like we've been there for quite a while. I mean, 3 years
yeah,
in,
sure. yeah.
3 years plus at this point
yeah.
In terms of classes. And, you know, first mm-hmm. class that had D.C. Charlottesville as an option
mm-hmm.
Was our class of 2018 that just graduated, which right. is exciting. But we're still getting the word out, right?
Yeah.
Everybody sort of
yeah.
comes new to this process. Some people are just beginning their search process, thinking about where they might want to pursue an executive MBA or global executive MBA. And so the sign on the building, it's been fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, certainly talk a little bit about getting the word out, not only for the students, but also mm-hmm. the area and the university. Mm-hmm. And so one of the purposeful design elements of our facility is, you know, in two floors, we have what we call our academic floor, which is really where our tiered classrooms are. We have two of them. We have a large, flat, flexible classroom, learning team rooms and learning team environments and break areas. And then on the 30th floor is where we have a lot of our conferencing and meeting space. And that was purposeful to make sure that we had a separation. But we also want to bring business conferences into this facility, similar that we do here in Charlottesville. And it's part of the feel. It's part of the excitement. We want to bring boards into that facility. And so it's a conferencing space for us as well that brings a different level of exposure to Darden and the university and our students. And so we continue to grow that market. We've got a team that's leading the charge on that. And we really want to continue not only having a place for the students, but also making a vibrant facility that just creates an atmosphere from a business conferencing perspective as well.
Yeah, I am. It's been fun to see students start to use the facility beyond just weekend residencies,
yeah, sure.
right?
Yeah.
So occasionally in the executive MBA recruitment process, we'll work later hours and,
yeah.
and we'll see learning team meetings taking place
yeah,
or
right.
somebody, you know, participating in a distance class using yeah. the learning team room. And so talk about sort of the evolution of student access to space now that
yeah.
we're fully operational, so
yeah.
to speak.
And yeah, so when we first opened the facility, March 1st, I believe it was. It was a partial opening. We were still under construction on probably 50% of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasoning behind that was we needed to get in because we no longer had a place as of March 1st. And so we had to have something for our executive MBA students to have class in. So in the beginning, we had limited access. We were really only allowing executive MBA in the facility on the weekends when they were in residency. And that was just because of the construction that was ongoing. It was just too complicated to coordinate and sometimes risky. Once we got into June and the entire facility opened up, we got up and running. We started tweaking a couple things. We really wanted to make sure that we had all our ducks in a row as far as providing access, and we understood the ebbs and flows of the facility a little bit. And so we did. So we started providing access in the evenings and some weekends and during the day so that we can generate a little bit more of a student-centered location for access. We recently produced key access cards for all of our students that are in the executive MBA format, including MSBA. Those cards provide different access to the building amenities. So it's not just the facility that we're in on the top floors. It's access to the fitness facility that's in the building. There's a rooftop deck that's available, which is really exciting. And then Freedom Walk, which is an outdoor area on the ground floor. Those are the primary kind of amenities that we get access to. So really excited about that, and hopefully that continues. And we also get requests now from students, residential students that are in the residential program here in Charlottesville over the summer, sometimes on breaks, where they're living in Northern Virginia, or they're up in the area, and they want a place where they can go and kind of call home from a Darden perspective. And so that's exciting to have available.
Yeah, it's been clear talking with prospective students, like, this is not a satellite location. This is Darden in the D.C. area, right? So the nomenclature is the same, right?
Yeah.
Grounds,
it's
the Sands family grounds, as you noted, made possible in many ways by the generosity of the Sands family. But see this very much as an extension and continuation of the overall sort of grounds of the Darden School.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is, and it should be. At the same time, it is also different in different ways, same as here. Mm-hmm. Talked a little bit about the architecture.
Yeah.
The views are extraordinary there. We talked a little bit about – we don't quite get those here in Charlottesville. Yeah. You know, it's beautiful here in Charlottesville, but you can't look out any windows in any classrooms here because we don't have them. And so at UVA Darden Sands Family Grounds, you can actually see these panoramic views of the Capitol and Northern Virginia, which is, you know a great opportunity to see. So there are things that are different, but it's okay to be different in some respect. But we try to create some similarities as well.
Well, it's worth noting that from the large tiered classroom, you can see the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, the full National Mall. So quick plug for class visits, you know, come by.
At
least give you a chance. And from the other classroom, you have a great view of Iwo Jima and Arlington National Cemetery and looking sort of southeast. So 360 degree views. So this is obviously, you talked about Sands Family Grounds and Darden's presence, growing presence in the D.C. area. Quick note for those of you who are less familiar with the Washington, D.C. area. Roslyn may be unfamiliar to you and sort of wondering where that is. And as Mike noted, it's in Arlington. And one of my favorite things is it's about as close as you can get to Washington, D.C. and still be in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I mean, any closer and you'd be in the Potomac.
So
we're essentially right at the Potomac River. If you've spent a little bit of time or you're sort of looking at a map, it's the Georgetown neighborhood, the Key Bridge, and the Key Bridge will deposit you right into Roslyn, which is Virginia's business district. A lot is happening in Roslyn in terms of businesses coming in. Nestle just moved there. Lots of other exciting developments, and so I think it's an emerging location, right?
Yeah.
I think it was probably pretty sleepy for a while,
and
I think that's changing. And the great thing is, you're one metro stop from DC. You're five metro stops from DCA. That's Reagan National Airport. Less than 10 minutes in an Uber or a cab from Reagan National. Dulles is a little bit further away, over 20 miles or so. Union Station's about 5 miles. So you think about geographic proximity, still being in the DC area. There's a lot that the location has going for it.
Yeah, and I think one of the fortunate things for us, so if we actually have the ability to be pretty close between Charlottesville and Roslyn, the transportation you mentioned reminds me of my own experience where during the project I was traveling up to Roslyn at least once a week for usually 2 days, sometimes a day. But the Amtrak station from here in Charlottesville, it is a I can leave Charlottesville at 8:45 in the morning, and I can be in our facility at 11:25 a.m. Mm-hmm. Walking in the door, sitting down with my laptop open. Yeah. And don't have to drive a vehicle, easy transportation, mm-hmm. and then take a trip back in the same day and be yeah. in my front door at home at 7 o'clock at night. So, the distance is not that far between Charlottesville yeah. and there. And so there's an easy connection as well with transportation from here even.
Yeah. One of the things that was announced as part of our recent program innovations that's exciting to me because I do think from a logistics standpoint, it makes the program perhaps a little bit easier for students is that first day, you know, the weekend residency, Friday, yeah. we'll start at noon, which means, to your point, right, if you're coming from Charlottesville or you're coming from Richmond or, mm-hmm. you know, Tidewater, you know, where we've always had a good chunk of students, yeah. A little bit easier, right? Yeah. You don't have to wake up or come in the night before. You can actually yeah. let the traffic clear out or, mm-hmm. you know, catch a train and still yeah. be there. And so hopefully it also means for our flyers and the people coming from a little bit further away, they maybe don't have to travel
yeah.
in on Thursday night. They can, but mm-hmm. they have an option now. Yeah. And yeah. so excited about that yeah. that too, particularly when you think about sort of how that intersects with the access that mm-hmm. is afforded by the D.C. area. So yeah. lots of great happenings in the Washington, D.C. area, but you oversee all facilities operations here and have been really integral in this sort of master plan development. And
that's right.
Would be remiss if I didn't ask you to talk a little bit about that because that's also an exciting thing for the Darden School. So talk a little bit more about the master plan, where it stands, some of the things that are being envisioned right now.
Yeah, sure. So there's a few components to our master facility plan here with Darden and Charlottesville. When Dean Beardsley came on board, it was important to him to really take a look at our facilities and make sure that we had the types of facilities in place that would enhance and improve the experience of our students and faculty, the learning environment, and really put a lot of pressure on us to put some thought to that. Mm-hmm. So we went through a process with Robert A.M. Stern out of New York, who's the original architects and designers of Darden here mm-hmm. in Charlottesville. And went through an exercise where we did three courses of action, actually. Test fit our property. Mm-hmm. So on our property, how many facilities can we fit? Where should they go? And what could they be in the future? And so we did that exercise. Out of that exercise, we recognized a couple things. One, there's the academic commons, which is what we believe is it's a project that's on our books that our advancement team soon will be hopefully raising money for and toward that will improve the heart of our property, so to speak, and really bring some enhancements for our student experience around student services like OSA and CDC, admissions for prospective students, and food and beverage, enhance the food and beverage experience for our students. So that's an exciting project, and that's something that we're really interested in doing. And we'd also do some other renovations, enhancing classrooms and technology and things like that. The second piece was a new hotel. So right now we have the Inn at Darden. It's an aging property. It doesn't have the type of amenities that executives and prospective students would experience at other properties. And so we looked at our peers. A lot of our peers in the business school setting are starting to enhance their facilities, and not so much an arms race, but they're making sure that it's attractive and it's part of their brand. Mm-hmm. And so the Darden Inn and Conference Center, which is a project that's also been approved by our trustees and we're currently in planning phase of, would enhance that experience for all our guests, our alums, and then some of our neighbors, law school, athletics, some of the other university groups that want to do conferencing and business meetings. So really excited about that project. The third piece is student housing. Right now we've looked at a couple housing locations. We're going to continue having conversations with the university how we can improve that. So those mm-hmm. were some of the components that came out of our master plan. And again, action item right now is the hotel mm-hmm. That's in planning phase. And then the academic commons yeah. is in fundraising phase. So excited.
Yeah, a lot going on. You're yeah. going to be busy.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
already are busy.
Already
so.
Am busy.
So Well, that's all extremely exciting. I think our executive format students have used the hotel in the past, and it's interesting how I think as a school you do have to look at these things constantly. Darden has a beautiful facility here, but you always have to be thinking about how to make it better, and the hotel is part of that. And all of this is ultimately brand reinforcing. At the end of the day. Because people do want to go to schools with tremendous amenities, tremendous facilities. Right. And it all matters. That must bring great purpose to the work that you do.
It does, yeah. I mean, when we look at these things, and I think the rankings just came out, the world's number one educational experience, if I'm not.
Eighth year in a row.
So that's really exciting. And it's exciting to continue down that path. But we also can't just stand still and expect that to happen every year. And so we have to continue listening to our stakeholders, getting feedback and finding opportunities that we can improve and make sure that we make it a ninth year in a row and a tenth year in a row and so on. So that's really important to me. And I do believe that our facilities are part of our brand. It's part of our experience. It's part of the environment. And I work with our communication and marketing team a lot. Julie Dom and I are on the same page a lot, I think, as far as brand's concerned, and how do we really enhance this place and make sure that it looks and feels right, but also performs right for the faculty and students. So there's a balance there. And again, the hotel is part of the residential experience when you talk about the executive format and executive education. I mean, that experience is part of it, and we need to improve there.
So. Yeah. And now the Darden School has more patio.
Right.
So I wanted to give you a chance to talk about that as a project that is just wrapped up. It's been fun to see students out there sitting at the table studying, particularly on a beautiful fall afternoon. And so that's got to be a good feeling to see that come to fruition.
Yeah. So some of these ideas came out of the master plan and some of the surveys and conversations we had. So over the last couple of years, we have not necessarily waited for the big gift to come in. We're trying to pick out opportunities that the enterprise can utilize operational some of the operational dollars to improve and enhance experiences in food and beverage or around the facility. And so the patio is one of them, certainly. Right off of the South Lounge, we've got about a 1,500 square foot patio that we can utilize all times of the year for events and first coffees and things of that nature. It's an extension of the South Lounge, which is great. More outdoor seating, which is great here in Charlottesville. We've done improvements in the library building over the last couple of years. We've co-located our centers and institutes to create almost a hub. We'll be over the course of this winter, we'll be enhancing our Cafe 67 and Abbott Lounge into a coffee and beverage bar and make it more of a cafe feel, so to speak, that you would experience in a coffee shop around town. A really important project for us, and engage with some of our student leaders to figure that out. And then our over the course of the spring, we'll be investing in our facility for our behavioral research lab and our leadership lab, creating again a central location where all of that activity can happen. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to really listen to our faculty, listen to the students, and find quick wins, so to speak, that we can make improvements and enhance for everybody. So.
Well, it's great that everybody has a voice in that process, students included.
Yeah.
It's not always the case when these kind of decisions get made at schools, right, that everybody sort of has a stakeholder interest, gets represented or gets a seat at the table. It's great that you sort of involve all these people because I think there's one thing that we know people have, they deeply care about the Darden School in many ways, facilities included.
Yeah, they do. A lot of people here at Darden they care a lot. I think most people care, but the approach with the Darden stakeholders, whether it's alums, current staff and faculty, students, really listening. We can't do everything that we hear, right? But we communicate that in the beginning. And so we do the best we can to do everything that we hear that makes sense, that we can afford. Is there a case behind it? Should we do it? But getting all that feedback, we get so many great ideas from the users. From my seat, I'm not a user necessarily, so I don't experience our facilities the same way that our faculty do and our students do. And so we would be missing out if we didn't get their feedback and get their current experience and try to take that as an opportunity to make change. So.
Well, Mike, thank you for all the work that you're doing on behalf of the Darden School. It's been sort of an incredible story in D.C. and obviously much more to come here in the Charlottesville area. So good luck in the months ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. I appreciate it.
And thanks for being on the podcast.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
And that was my conversation with Mike Stroud, Executive Director for Facilities and Operations here at the Darden School of Business. Of course, if you have comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA, at darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.